Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 14. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you today for the privilege to be here with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Privilege to open your word, to read it and to hear it read, and to hear from you. God, certainly it is true that we wish we had 1,000 tongues and 1,000 hands so that we could worship you and praise you to a greater degree. It is in our hearts that you deserve it. It is in our hearts to want to do that praise for you. God, I pray that you would open our ears and our hearts and our minds to these truths that are in your word. As we look for direction for the new year, God, I pray that you would give us that. Let us lean on you and depend upon you, that you may bless us, inform us this new year. Save a soul that needs you today. Draw a wayward Christian back close to you. Do not leave us, any of us, unchanged today by being in your presence. We ask and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Ephesians 3, verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might of his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." All God's people said, now, I'm probably going to think you probably don't remember last year when we preached the prayer for 2017. But if you do remember, or if you wrote it down and your memory has been refreshed, I mentioned it was a two-part prayer. We looked at Ephesians 1 last year, and we saw Paul's prayer for enlightenment. So we were praying this past year for knowledge, for God to enlighten our understanding, for God to enlighten our knowledge so that we would grow in our knowledge of some things. I hope you have been praying throughout the year that we would come to a better understanding of the greatness of God's plan, that we would come to a better understanding of the greatness of God's power, and that we would come to a better understanding of the greatness of God's person. His plan, His power, His person. That was the prayer in Ephesians 1. The prayer we will look at today, we read in Ephesians 3. Doesn't speak of enlightenment, but it speaks of experience. what Paul understands is that experience without knowledge is a dangerous thing. Say amen. Some of you know just enough about computers to be dangerous, right? Experience without knowledge is a dangerous thing. So that's why last year we prayed for enlightenment, and this year we're going to pray for experience. I hope that we know better God's plan, God's power, and God's person. And this year, I want us to pray that we would experience in a wonderful way the plan and the power and the person of God. That our experience of God this year would be grounded in our knowledge of God that we obtained last year. So what Paul prays is that these believers at Ephesus will experience these wonderful things, and that we need to pray that each one of us would experience these things as well. 2018. We will not be praying for us to make a difference. We will be praying that God will make a difference in each one of us. So the prayer here contains four progressive elements. In other words, each one will build on the previous one supplying the ground for the next. So let me give you four truths, four spiritual realities that we, I hope, will pray for each other this year as we ask God to help us experience Him. Number one, pray that we might experience inner strength. Pray that we might experience inner strength. Verse 16, that He, God, would grant you, believer, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit, where? In the inner man. Now, Paul begins this whole section, verse 14, with the words, for this cause. And the cause of his prayer is found in verse 13. Paul says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. So I'm thinking 2018 that will begin tomorrow will no doubt have many problems, many difficulties, and many trying circumstances that are reserved for each one of us. And the prayer that Paul prays here is that those troubles and those tribulations will not cause God's people to become disheartened and discouraged. The prayer begins with a request for inner strength. That's important because if we have a weak inner man, that weak inner man will result in an external manifestation of doubt and fear and anxiety and distrust and sin. A weak inner man will lead to frustration. So what is the inner man? The inner man is the spiritual you. It is the eternal you. It's that part of you that will live forever. I would say this, it's the real you. This physical appearance that you put on is not the real you. The spiritual part of you is the real you. That is the eternal you. It is what you are on the inside. It is your faith. And Paul desires that this inner man, this spiritual you, this real you is strengthened each day. And as we approach the new year, I know there are all sorts of resolutions that are going to be made, and all of these resolutions will probably be about the outer man. And while the world concentrates on the outer man, I understand that because that's all the world has to concentrate on, is the outer man. For believers, the prayer is for an increasing, growing, developing spiritual reality. Paul wants the Christians at Ephesus to grow spiritually. It should be each one of our desires to grow spiritually. And it should be our desire that our brothers and sisters also grow spiritually. And so the desire for myself to grow and for you to grow should drive me to God and ask Him to strengthen the inner man. It is the empowering of the Spirit to work and to move on the inner man. It is a prayer for our delights to be in God, our thoughts to be on God, and our prayer that we would not so easily be swayed by the flesh. The question is, how does the Spirit of God strengthen the inner man? How does the Spirit of God strengthen our spiritual being? Or how do we grow? How does the Spirit of God make us grow spiritually? The answer, of course, is through the Word of God. The inner man is strong when he is controlled by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So the prayer here is that our spiritual being will be strengthened by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. So that would entail a lot of things, right? If you pray that for me, what you're really praying for is, God, help my pastor be more in the Word. Help my pastor better understand the Word. Help my pastor better apply the Word so that he may grow and be strengthened in his spirit. It is a prayer that no matter how many times we get knocked down this year, we will be strong enough to get up and move forward for God every single time. So Paul begins with a prayer that God, through the Spirit, by the Word, would strengthen and grow the believers at Ephesus spiritually in the inner man. Number two, building upon that, Paul says, pray that we might experience indwelling peace. Pray that we might experience indwelling peace. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And you might say, you probably are thinking right now, well, preacher, I thought that when I received Christ as my Savior and I put my faith and trust in Him, that the Spirit of God already dwells in me. Or the Spirit of God already dwells in the believer. And I would say, He does. But Paul's not talking about salvation here. Paul's not speaking about this initial indwelling of the Spirit. The verb that he uses here, dwell, literally means to settle down and be at home. It's not a question of whether Christ is in your life or whether Christ dwells in you. The question is Christ comfortable or is Christ at home in you? Somebody help me. Now, I know every one of you are aware of the difference between being in a house and being at home. Right? You can be in a house, protected from the elements, warm or cool, and it not be home. Somebody help me. You can be in a house and it not be home, right? I can be more relaxed and at peace at my home than I can at your house. I can be me at my home. I am more comfortable at my house or my home than I am at your house. And I would say this, you can stay at the finest hotel, or you can have the best cabin on a cruise ship, but it ain't like being at home. So Paul prays that our inner man would be strengthened so that Christ may be more comfortable and feel more at home in us. He prays that the heart will be clean and the heart will be orderly so that Christ does not have to constantly be fixing this and fixing that, but Christ can just settle. So here's my question. Do you think Christ can be at home in your thoughts? Or are there things that you think about that you're pretty sure that would make Christ uncomfortable? Somebody help me. How about, is Christ at home in your appetites and desires? Or does what really satisfy us, is that really void of God or His will? Can God settle down in our appetites and our desires and know that they're for Him and for His will? Or are they for something else that would make Christ very uncomfortable? You with me? Is Christ at home in my fellowship? I was reading a book this week, old book. I think it's written back in the 42 or something like that when the first publication of it is. But the fellow, it's a short book. He was equating our heart to a home and the different rooms that are in a home. And he said one day he got up and he was running a little bit late, and he was rushing and getting things ready. And as he was going out the house, he sort of looked into the living quarters of the home, and he saw two legs sitting there next to the fireplace. And he saw him sitting there, and he just kept on going. And he said this lasted for days and weeks on end. But he said one morning he stopped, and there, sitting there in his living room, was God. And he said, God, have you been sitting here every morning? And he said, yes, I've been waiting for you so that we can have fellowship. But you've been too busy. You've been too preoccupied. But I've been here. Is God at home in our fellowship? Are we too busy or too tired to meet Him? What's happened to our Bible study? What's happened to our prayer time? Is Christ at home when there are closets that are hiding our personal sins and we don't want anyone to discover them? You see, it is a strong inner man where the Spirit of God is applying the Word of God in a cleansing manner that empowers the experience of God settling down in our hearts and being at home in our lives. With me. Is God at home? Number three, pray that we might experience immeasurable love. That ye may, ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. So the experience here is that this incomprehensible love, this comprehending of love that cannot be measured and cannot be fully understood. It is a deepening and a solidifying and a securing of the love of Christ that we already possess. That no matter how long or how hard our lives are shaken this year, we experience love, and we know that we can't, this love can't be known or it can't be explained, but we have it. Someone asked about the love of Christ, and the answer he got was this: if you have to explain it, you ain't got it. Somebody help me. The word comprehend means here to seize or to apprehend. The only way that you will get the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of Christ's love, which is beyond knowing any other way, is by Christ bringing us to the place that we understand a greater deal of it and have a greater possession of it. So Paul prays that we will have the joy of knowing we are loved by God. And the love of God for us is through the person of Christ. The love that He has for us is a love that is incomprehensible and a love that escapes every human being except those who are rooted and grounded in it, because Christ is at home in them because they are strong in the inner man. So here's the deal. How is the love of God most often expressed toward us? And is the answer to that question not in the people of God? The love of God is most often expressed to us through the people of God. In other words, I gain a greater understanding of God's love as God's people show me and express to me God's love. So the Bible tells us that the way the world knows us, that we are His disciples, is through our love for one another. So the love of God that is shed in our hearts will be the same love that will also come from our hearts. So the more we are rooted and grounded in the immeasurable love of God, the more we will manifest love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the more that we manifest the love of God to our brothers and sisters in Christ, the more that they will understand and appreciate and possess the love of God. Say amen. So that prayer is not only a prayer that we would come to a better understanding of this incomprehensible love, but that we would also show this incomprehensible love so that others would have a better understanding of it as well. Number four, pray that we would experience infinite fullness or filling. Finally, he says that you may be filled with the fullness of God. What does it mean that you will be filled with the fullness of God? What does that mean? I think it means that we will be more like Him. Some of you are full of it, but you're not full of God. Right? Most of us are full of ourselves. Here is a prayer that God would fill more of me and you, and that we would be fuller of Him. Say amen. It is to be filled with God. It is to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. It is the character of Christ that will fill us completely. And there is no end to this filling. There is no end to His greatness. And so there's no end to the fullness of God that we can experience. I read somewhere about a man who took a cup and he scooped up some water from the ocean, and the cup was filled with the water from the ocean. It was full. And he said, now all of the ocean wasn't in the cup, but he said that which was in the cup was all ocean. Say amen. We can't have all of God, but I would pray that what's in me would be all God. And that's the thought. I want all that is in us to be God. I want to be more and more like Him, thinking like Him, loving like Him, moving like Him, having compassion like Him, having mercy like Him, being selfless like Him. And the only way I can be more like Him is if He fills me more with Himself. And He knows the places where He's not filling me. He knows the places where I have more of me than Him. And our prayer is, God, fill those places with You. And where there is a lack, fill it with You. So the prayer is simply this. God, let us experience the strengthening of our inner man. Let us experience the indwelling peace of God. Let us experience the immeasurable love of Christ. And let us be infinitely full or filled with the fullness of God. And if we would pray that, and if God were to grant us the experiencing of that, 2018 would be a great, great year. I know you're going to eat. What do you eat on New Year's Day? You're going to eat black-eyed peas and collard greens, and that's going to make you rich in 2018. It ain't worked for you all these years. I doubt if it's going to work for you this year. Boy, but could we be rich in Christ? Could God grow us and allow us to be more like Him and comprehend a little bit greater the immeasurable love of Christ that He has for us? If God could grant these things for us, boy, it would be a great year. And you might be saying, yeah, right, like that's going to happen in 2018. I want you to notice how Paul brackets the prayer. He begins by praying that God would grant these requests that he's getting ready to ask according to His riches in glory. So the supplying of these requests is not a problem. God can supply our requests, these requests, because He supplies these requests from an unending supply of His riches. Then notice how he ends the prayer in verse 20-21. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. The supply is from His riches, and He that we are praying to is able to do this and so much more. You ever pray, and in your heart you say, God ain't doing that. God ain't granting that. Paul wants you to pray this prayer and know God has the supply and God has the ability to grant these requests and so much more. And he says this. We pray these things. We pray that our inner man be strengthened. We pray that the indwelling peace of God would be more evident in our hearts. We pray that He works in us and we could understand to a greater degree the immeasurable love that He has for us. We pray that He would fill us with His fullness. Why? For His glory. So that His glory may be seen in the church throughout all ages, world without end. So be it. That's the reason for it all, right? God, allow us to experience all this in 2018 so that in 2018 we may bring you praise and honor and respect and admiration from the people who see us and will conclude that you are indeed a powerful, mighty, and saving God. Say amen. Last year, we were praying, show us. Help us see the plan of God and the power of God and the person of God. This year we're praying, God, let us experience it. Let us experience it. In our church, in me, in my brothers and sisters in Christ, for the glory of God. May we experience these tremendous truths. And so my question is this. Will you pray it? Will you pray it with the confidence that these things are supplied from His riches and He is able to do all that we ask and even think? Will you pray with confidence and will you pray for His glory that God would do these things in your life, in your family's life, and in your church family's life? So that we may grow and others may see they serve a great God. They serve a wonderful God. They serve a mighty God. They serve a saving God. And they just might ask you, what makes the difference in you? And you'll be able to tell them, Jesus Christ. Will you pray it? I have a card for you. If our deacons would come forward, we'll give you a card. This is a card with the prayer just to remind you what we're praying for. Divide those up, Barry. We have ours on our mirror in the bathroom. Denise has one on her computer monitor. She's going to put it somewhere just to remind you every morning just to pray these things for yourself and for your family and for your church. That God would grant these things according to His riches and accordance to His ability for His glory. God, help us experience these truths. Help us to greater experience you this year.